All right. Good evening, and welcome to the first of three shiurim, three planned shiurim on hair and halacha. This week on Kosher Shavers, next week, God willing, I'll be talking about plugs, dyes, and mirrors, hair care for men, ? And then the third week will be Rabbi Ziering speaking on beards and peyot. As always, this is not intended as psak. For psak, please ask your shul rabbi. I do want to also give credit to Rav Herschel Schechter, Rabbi Michael Talvis, Rabbi Baruch Simon, who have audio shiurim on YU Torah on this issue. And you know, I was in Israel, and I had a couple of long bus rides as well as a long plane flight, and their recordings took me through the long rides. So I picked up all sorts of elements for this year in the course of listening to those things that otherwise I would not have had. Okay, the lift and cut shaver or the kosher shaver, the question fundamentally is, what means do we have halachically for shaving bisman hazeh in our day? The Torah explicitly prohibits shaving a beard in a way that destroys it. It's found twice in the Torah, once in Parshas Kedoshim, once in Parshas Amor. I gave you the psukim in source number one. Right? First is the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, Lo sakifu pa'as roshem, do not cut straight the corners of your head. And that's talking about peyos, and not cutting along this way. And that Rabbi Ziering will discuss in week three. Lo sashtis eis pa'as zekanecha, and do not destroy the corners of your beard. That's one pasuk. Second pasuk in Parshas Emor, Lo yikvachu karcha b'rosham, they shall not make cuts in their head, and that's understood to be associated with grieving. Ufaz zikanam lo yigalechu. Actually, let me not make the comment about grieving. Just leave that part of the pasuk out. Ufaz zikanam lo yigalechu, they shall not shave the corner of their beard. Uvibisaram lo yisritu sarates, and they shall not make marks in their skin. Who is the they in the second pasuk? Kohanim, right, Parshas Amor, the beginning of Parshas Amor, laws of the Kohanim. So the first pasuk is about Jews as a whole, the second pasuk is regarding Kohanim. That might have led me to think that somehow there's a difference in terms of the law for the Kohanim and for everybody else. So you look at the Sifra that I brought you in source number two, that indicates it's not true. The Sifra says something that we're going to see in the Gemara as well. It attempts to define what exactly it is that's prohibited as shaving, and it says, the pasuk tells me, the first pasuk we quoted from Parshas Kedoshim, you shall not destroy the corners of your beard. What is the pasuk teaching me? Because the fish name, I have another pasuk that says that they shall not shave the corners of their beards. I might think that if you were to shave with a scissor that's like a razor, you would be liable. No, lo sashchis. The Torah says, do not destroy. I'm not going to go into destruction and shaving and whatever right now. We're going to see that in the Gemara. My point in quoting you this medrash is only to show you that the Sifra uses the two psukim in tandem. The pasuk for Yisrael and the pasuk for Kohanim are used together to teach lessons about each other, and that shows that this is actually understood to be one Isser. It's a single prohibition, applies to Kohanim, applies to everybody else, and that's the way the Rambam takes it, the Sefer HaChinuch takes it, the Smag takes it. So why do I have a special pasuk for Kohanim? Why didn't you just give me the pasuk for Klal Yisrael, and that would be that? So the Meshech Chachma says it's in order to teach that that a Kohen who has shaved is not eligible to serve on the Mizbeach. Not only has he violated a prohibition, but he's not allowed to serve on the Mizbeach. Rav Yosef Tzvi Mecklenburg, Haksaba Kabbalah, says it's to teach that our Kohanim should look different from the Kohanim of Avodah Zarah, the priests of idolatry, who by tradition we are taught did shave. So that's the halacha. We are not allowed to destroy the corners of our beard. We are not allowed to shave the corners of our beard. Why not? What's the rationale? I mean, the rationale is the Torah said so. But, like, what lessons can we learn from it when we discuss Tamei HaMitzvahs? Minag HaNochrim. So Minag HaNochrim, Chukos Akum, is somewhat associated with the Rambam's explanation here. The Rambam writes in source number 3, Derech Kalanei Ovdei Kochavim Hayel HaShkezik Hanam. He says the priests of Avodah Zarah used to destroy their beards. Lefichach Asra Torah LaHashkez HaZakon. And therefore the Torah says, don't you dare do this to your beard. We distinguish between ourselves and the priests of Avodah Zarah. That's why one of the classic words that's used to connote a priest is what? A galach, right? A galach, one who shaves. So that's the idea. Whether this is chukos akum in general is something we have to come back to. But the Bach says that that's actually what the Rambam is trying to say. Because you notice, what am I quoting in source number 3? I'm not quoting the Moreh Nevuchim, where he likes to give explanations for things. I'm quoting the Mishneh Torah. In his work of law, the Rambam writes that it's because their priests used to do this. So the Bach writes that the Rambam introduces the reason here because he thinks the reason does affect the law. That in fact this is chukos akum, as you just said, Byron. You're following the practices of the non-Jews. Others give other explanations, surprise, for what this is all about. I gave you a quick list of 4 different approaches. Ibn Ezra says, first, that it's chukos akum, cutting as the nations do, and then he says also, your peyot and your beard are your tiferet, they are your splendor. Okay. Rabbeinu Bechaye says that it's in order to distinguish men from women. The idea being, the men will have the beards, the women will not have the beards. Okay. Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch has this fascinating idea, both regarding the corners of the peyot and the corners of the beard. Pass that. Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch suggests that there's the animal side and the intellectual side. So he says the part of the brain that's forward is the intellectual side of the brain. The part of the brain that's in the back, think medulla oblongata, that area, is animal. And so he says you leave your peyos here in order to distinguish between the front and the back. And he says the jawline is associated with eating. That is the more animal part of the face, as opposed to the intellect visible through the eyes. So therefore, you grow your beard in order to cover the animal side of the human being. It's a very Hirschian idea. And then the Nitziv says that they used to cut the hair of slaves. They used to shave the heads of the slaves, and therefore, you are not supposed to do so. You don't cut your hair in that way. All sorts of different fun explanations for what is fundamentally a law in the Torah that says you're not supposed to destroy the corners of your beard.
So where are the corners?
So that's one of the things we have to discuss, is exactly that question. So what exactly does a corner of a beard look like? The challenge, historically, is that we wanted to shave. Meaning, the Romans shaved daily. Right? It was considered proper hygiene, it was considered proper dignity, and I might have thought that a Jew should as well. We are taught that we're supposed to dress neatly and cleanly. Talmid Chacham should not have any stains on his clothing. You're supposed to look nice, you're supposed to be respected by the nations around you. And so I would have said, if they're shaving, and that's viewed as a dignified way to conduct yourselves, maybe that's what Jews should do as well. But the opposite is true. Because the Torah prohibits shaving with a razor, it instead became a way to distinguish ourselves from the nations around us. Now, historically, Jews found a way to deal with this. They used depilatory creams and powders, right, which you just put on your face and they burn off the hair. And in fact, as we're going to see, that's actually halachically permitted. But with the birth of the age of the electric shaver, that became a new way to deal with the problem, in a sense that the electric shaver is better than using a razor. And then that gave way to the lift and cut shaver, and the question of whether a lift and cut shaver is in fact acceptable for a Jew. Take a look at source number 5, please, where I brought you, courtesy of Tzometz, a graphic from a Philips advertisement for their lift and cut shaver. You see the 4 scenes, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, the shave is going from left to right. That's interesting. I would have thought in Israel they'd shave from right to left. Go figure. So what you see there are 2 blades running along the surface of the skin, and that lateral section there that they're running along, you see the units of sort of the grill behind which the blades are, over which the blades run. So there's a follicle. The first of the blades cuts into the hair and pulls it up. The second blade then comes along and cuts it. And then the last one, it's been severed, and the follicle retreats below the surface of the skin. What they're trying to show you, in addition, which doesn't really come through so well in this picture, is that the skin itself is being pulled up, so that the shaver is cutting along the surface of the skin. So it's not just the advantage that you've pulled the hair up, and therefore you're going to get a really short cut, because now what remains of the hair is below the surface, but also that you're cutting very close to skin level. And you'll see that as part of the discussion. But the question is this allowed? So we have to look at the Mishnah in Makos. The Mishnah in Makos is in source number 6. And it tells us what the prohibition is. Machlokes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer. Hakareach karcha barosho, someone who makes cuts on his head. V'makiv pas rosho, somebody who cuts the corners of his head. V'mashkes pas zikano, one who destroys the corners of his beard. V'asarit svita achaz alameis, a person who makes a cut in his skin for the dead. Chayef, one who does any of these things is liable. Dot, dot, dot. Al hazakan, when it comes to the corners of the beard, there are shtayim mikan, ushtayim mikan, v'achas milamata. Two here, and one below. I did not point to anything because we're going to discuss what the two here and two here look like. We don't know yet. All we know is that there are five corners of the beard. That's the first part of the Mishnah, and there are five potential prohibitions, therefore, for somebody who does this. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Rabbi Eliezer says it's all one prohibition if you do them all at once. The second part of the Mishnah, still in source number 6, Ve'eino chayav ad sheyitlenu bitar. You're only liable if you do this with a tar. What is a tar?
A blade.
A razor blade. Tar is assumed to be a razor blade. And Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer afilu likto b'malaket o b'rehitni chayav. He says, even if you collect the hair using a malaket or a rehitni. So Rashi in the Gemara in Shabbos defines rehitni as a plane. Right? Like the word that you see there. Pelamed yud yud nun aleph. A plane. A blade that you would run across the surface, like when he talks about using it on a shield in order to get a smooth surface on the shield, but you'd use it on a piece of wood, and you get these curls of wood that come up as you plane the surface. That's what Rashi explains it. However, the dominant view is like the Rambam's explanation on this Mishnah, and the Rambam writes in source number 8, Umalaketet hamelkachayim. Melkachayim are
tweezers,
right? Tongs, tweezers, something that you use to pluck hair. So the Tanakhama says, I am allowed to pluck out beard hairs, even with a tool. That's not a problem. If you wanted to shave by plucking out the hairs of your beard, have fun. However, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees, and Rabbi Eliezer says that you're not allowed to do so. That's okay, we follow the Tanakhama. But that's our Mishnah. So the Mishnah says there are five parts to the beard that you're not allowed to cut. Unclear what those parts are as of now. And it's only a razor that is prohibited. This is distinct from the issue of payos. As Rabbi Deering presumably will discuss in week 3 when he talks about payos, there the prohibition is any implement. It doesn't make a difference. I'm not allowed to cut the payos using anything. But when it comes to the corners of the beard, it's specific to the razor, or so it seems. So what are these five locations? So take a look at source number 9. Ve'al hazakan, on the beard, shtayim mikan, ve'achas milamata. Two here, one below. Mechavi Rav Sheshes ben Pirkei Dikna. So Rav Sheshes said, yeah, he pointed to the area between the beards, joints of the beards. So what in the world does that mean? What are the joints of the beard? So here I'm going to jump within my notes. I had done it later, but I think I'm going to move it back to where we are now. So go to page 12. Go to source 12, please. Source number 12 is Rashi in Parshas Kedoshim. I'm not going to go through each of the sources aloud as much as just to show them to you, just in the interest of time. But you see Rashi in number 12, he says, V'hein chamesh, five spots, shtayim b'chol lechi v'lechi l'mala eitz al arosh, shu racha v'yesh bo shtei peyos. Two are up at the top of each jaw, In other words, here, and they're side by side, they're lateral. One here, so that's four. And then one more in the middle of the chin, he says, V'achas lamata b'santero mekom chibur shnei l'chayayim yachad, one below where the two jaws meet each other. Unclear to me what he means by the two jaws meeting each other, but unquestionably he means the chin. So as far as Rashi is concerned, these spots and over here
are the problem. So the mentalis muscle is two parts.
Yeah?
Of the muscle.
Two parts of the muscle. So you think that's what he's referring to? Okay, could be.
What are the two parts?
Meaning one part that's closer to the ear, and then one part that is closer to the nose, really. You're moving away from the ear towards the nose. No, we're not thinking, because you're too close to the nose. He's saying this is a wide space, the area by the ear. Wide enough to be two peyot. That's what he's saying. That's the idea. And wherever you have hair grow there, that's gonna be it. It's the midpoint of the ear, as Rabbi Leo Mizrahi explains his position in number 12. The Rivan is Rashi's son-in-law. Rashi on the Gemara in Makos, starting at the top of Yutes Amud Beis, is not Rashi. As is noted in a standard edition Vilna Shas at the top of Yutes Amud Beis, Rashi stops there, and the last four and a half daf or so in Makos is actually the parish of the Rivan of Rashi's son-in-law. So the Rivan here gives a different explanation. He says in number 13, Chamish peos yeshlo lezakon echo lamata min ha'ozen makom shalachi atachon yotzeyu misparet sham v'sham nikra peya v'chudo shalachi shabole l'chut shasham atchalas hazakon. His position is, I'm not going to go through everything inside. In the interest of time, it won't work. But he says you have one in the center of the chin, two at the bottom corner of the jaw, and two below the ear. But when he says below the ear, there's a machlokas, and here Rabbi Simon in his shir printed up copies of pages from a book that actually has pictures of the different options. So there's one view that two below the ear means below the top of the ear. In other words, the midpoint of the ear, like what Rashi had said. And then there's another view that says, no, it means below the entire ear. So you have here, no one else says, like Rashi, that there are two side by side at the midpoint of the ear. But there's one that is below the ear, which either means midpoint of the ear or below. And then you have another set that that are the bottom corner of the jaw. And then you have one in the middle. So that's another perspective on it. The Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Hananel, who gives you another explanation. He says that it's where the jaw meets the temple, way up here. That's two right here. And then two more are the ends of the mouth, the ends of the mustache. And that's where you're not allowed to do. Remember, the word peyah just means end of, or side of, or corner of. But it doesn't say the corners of what. So therefore he says these two over here, and then the fifth one will be on the chin. And the Rosh adds, it could be in the throat, below the chin. So that's another possibility. And then the Rambam has two joints at the mid-ear where the jaw meets the skull, and then two for the back edges of the jaw just below the ear, and then one more at mid-chin. By the time you hear all of these different views, and we have not gone through every possible view that is found, by the time you get through that, you recognize why the Rambam, why the Shulchan Aruch says what it does. If you go back now to source number 10, no, that's not the one that I wanted. Hang on. Where did I put it on the sheet? I'm sorry, number 16. I apologize. Source number 16. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Peos hazakan heim hei. There are five corners of the beard. V'rabu bahem hadeos. And there are way too many views. Lefichach yirei shamayim yetzei eskulam v'lo yavir taro kozakano klal. So if you are God-fearing, you're just not going to use a razor. Just don't do it, because you don't know. And the Rama adds, afilu tachas hagaron, even beneath the throat, you're not going to use it, because of the view within the Rosh that it could be that. I even brought a source, number 15, that I skipped, but I thought this was really interesting. Rav Michal Shurkin, says that Rav Moshe had a very interesting limud zchus, a really interesting justification for a practice that that occurred in Europe. Rav Shurkin says he asked Rav Moshe Feinstein the following question. I saw that the yeshiva students in Europe, as well as balabatim, shaved their peyos, and not, you know, from the midpoint of the ear, like that. Above that, where it's aser for sure, no matter what your implement is that you're using. And he said to Rav Moshe, what's their head there? How in the world are they doing that? They're shaving their peyos. Don't they know any better? So Rav Moshe replied with what he calls a davar nifla, a remarkable idea. And that is that, remember, we have two different peyos. You have pa'at harosh, that's what we call peyos, and pa'at hazakan, the corners of the beard. So he says, pa'at harosh, by definition, is that which is not pa'at hazakan, is not the beard. So he says, Ashkenazi kids, when, you know, before they hit puberty, before they start to develop a beard, their hair only grows to about here. Therefore, anything below that is pa'at hazakan. As opposed to the Sephardi kids, who naturally have more facial hair as they're growing up as kids, and therefore their peyot are going to be, their pa'at harosh is going to be much longer. So his argument was that maybe if you're in your society, the hair only grows up to here when you're a kid, that's all that counts as your pa'at harosh. And the rest of it below that is pa'at hazakan. It's a fascinating argument, clearly intended just to justify a practice that he had observed and to make it so they're, you know, so they're not violating the law. But if you were to follow that, that would lead me to the conclusion that pa'at hazakan is in fact subjective. Right? The corners of the beard, it depends on, in your society, what parts are beard and what parts grow even before a child develops secondary sexual characteristics. That's the remarkable idea. I see you're shaking your head.
He's assuming that Ashkenazim are less hairy than Sephardim.
I mean, that's not the problematic part of this. a very interesting idea. Sorry?
The Ashkenazim would have more hair because they're further north.
But in practice, it happens to be true that Sephardi kids tend to, you know, from various countries, I don't know if it's from all countries, but from various countries, it's true. They have more facial hair than the Ashkenazi kids. Right. In any case, I only bring it because it's a very interesting idea, not the Paskin at La Halacha for sure. But going back to what we've said, right, the locations are subject to great debate. And therefore, whatever tool this is that we're not supposed to use, we're not going to use it on any part of the beard. The back of the head, gesunde. The front, you already run into trouble.
Even the neck.
Even the neck, because of this concern from the Rosh. That's what the Rama said. But the big question is, what exactly is this tool that is prohibited? So go back again to the front page, to source number 9. Okay, back into the Gemara in Makos. The second line in source number 9. And this is what the Sifra was doing in number 2. Ve'eino chayav ad she'etzlenu betar. The Mishnah says he's not liable unless he does it with a tar. Tanu Rabbanan, Brisa says. And here the Brisa is going to explain what kind of cutting is prohibited. Because remember, the Pasuk never used the word tar. It never said blade. Not because it doesn't know the word tar. The word tar appears in Chumash. Right? A nazir. It says, tar lo yavor arosho. We know the word tar, but the Torah doesn't use it. So how do you know what it is that you can't do? Tana Rabbanan, Braisa says. Pasuk says in Emor, ufas zikhanam lo yegalechu. They shall not be megaleach, the corners of their beards. Yachol afilu gilcho b'misparayim yechayev. I might think that any kind of giluach, giluach right now just means shaving. So I don't think any kind of shaving would be prohibited. If you used a scissor, that would also be prohibited. No. Tamalomar lo sashchis. The pasuk says, do not destroy. Scissors, evidently, do not destroy hair. We're going to come back to that and try to explain that, but that's what the Gemara is saying. Well, I lo tashchis, if the prohibition is only destroying the hair, but destroying is the problem, then Yochanan Lichtov Malakid Rehitni, then you should be liable if you were to pluck the hair, using the Rambam's definition of Malakid and Rehitni. If you pluck the hair, that's also destroying the hair. It's not Giluach, it's not shaving, it's plucking. But it is destroying the hair. Tamalomar lo yigalechu. Therefore, the pasuk says, don't be megalech, don't shave. In other words, because I have two psukim, and they use two different terms, I'm going to say you're not violating the Isser unless you use both. Number one, it has to be a giluach action, a shaving action. Plucking is fine. And it has to be mashchis. It has to really destroy. As opposed to scissors, which evidently don't. Haketzad, how does this work? Giluach sheyesh bo hashchasa. It's an act of shaving which involves destroying the hair. Have omer ze tar. That is tar. Are we clear? Got it? That's what the Gemara is saying. So scissors are fine because they're not mashchis. They don't have the prohibited effect on the hair. The plucking is fine because the action that you're doing is not the prohibited action. That's the idea. And this is paskened in the Shulchan Aruch. This is brought in the Shulchan Aruch. If you take a look at source number 10, Eino chayev al hashchasas ba'asas akan ela b'tar. You're only liable if you use a tar. Avo b'misparayim mutar. But scissors are fine. Afilu kein tar, even if they are in the style of a tar, the style of a razor. What in the world does that mean? Scissors in the style of a razor are fine. That phrase comes from a Gemara in Nazir, which we're not going to go into right now. But something called scissors that are like a tar are still acceptable. Those are still good. Then the Rama is going to add a note, which maybe we're going to come back to. I'm not ready for this Rama right now. But that's what is prohibited. Giluach sheyesh bo hashchasa. It has to have a shaving action and a result that is the destruction of the hair. If it's not a shaving action, such as plucking the hair, you're fine. If it doesn't destroy the hair, like the scissors, as we'll see, you're also fine.
What is destroy?
So that's what I'm going to come back to explain that. Good question. Coming up to it. I should note, though, this is the point to insert, the point made by the Ritva in source number 11, where the Ritva says, if you use a depilatory cream, you're fine, because that's not a giluach action. That's not a shaving action. That's where the view becomes that's okay. The Noda Yehuda said it. The Birkei Yosef, the Chida said it. There is one view that says that it's no good because a Nazir isn't supposed to use Nasha, isn't supposed to use such things. That for him it counts. I'm not a Nazir. I'm sorry. That a Mitzora, when the Mitzora is supposed to shave, this depilatory would count. Nonetheless, well, longer story. I don't want to go into the opposition. But the basic view is, and it's almost entirely accepted by everybody, that the depilatory cream and powder are fine. So here's what we need to know at this point. We know that we don't know where the corners of the beard are. Right? That we've established. So all over the potential beard, under the throat, it's all going to be usser. What we don't know is, what is the definition of a shaving act which destroys the hair? What does that mean? And when the Shulchan Aruch says that scissors that are like a razor are allowed, what exactly is it permitting? Right? How would you define the phrase? How would you explain the phrase scissors that are like a razor? What does that even mean? There are two ways you can look at it. You could say it means scissors that cut really close to the face like a razor blade and that they're still okay. Or you could say it means something which is like a razor in the sense that it has the physical characteristics of a razor, but it doesn't cut really close to the face. It's like a razor, but it's not a razor. I don't know. I don't know what the Shulchan Aruch meant to permit. So that's what we have to now focus on. Remember, the Torah never uses the word tar. The Torah never uses the word razor to describe what it is you're not allowed to do. So we need to define what is this giluach sheyesh bo hashchasa, this shaving action that is destructive, what we're calling a tar. So we're going to see four different approaches to what this is. Four approaches. approach number one is that the result is what matters. The result is what I care about. And the result means cutting the hair really, really short. That's what I'm not allowed to do. That's the definition of hashchasa. When we say giluch sheyesh bo hashchasa, a shaving that involves destroying the hair, what it means is, if it's really, really close, it is prohibited. And when we say misparayim ke'ein tar, scissors that are like a razor are allowed, that means where they cut short, but not as short as a tar. They may be really sharp, but they're not going to cut as short as a razor blade would cut. That's an explanation for why the Gemara says that scissors are okay. They're not hashchasa. Because scissors don't cut that short. Why can't scissors cut that short?
They have thickness.
They have a thickness, right? What does a scissors look like? What do scissors look like? There is no singular for scissors. What do scissors look like? It's two blades, right, which are going to run along the surface. The bottom blade is always, the thickness of the bottom blade is always going to be the thickness of the hair that remains. You can't cut any closer to the skin. That's the way it works. So the definition of scissors includes that they're not going to cut the hair at skin level. There will always be some length to it. And that's the Chasam Sofer's position. Now, everybody who quotes the Chasam Sofer on this likes to tell the story behind the tshuva of the Chasam Sofer. In the interest of time, I'm going to abbreviate the story. Has anyone here ever heard of the Besamim Rosh?
Yes.
Okay. Got someone. Okay. So the Besamim Rosh was promoted about 200 years ago as the Tshuvos of the Rosh. 150 or so years ago, as the Tshuvos, long lost Tshuvos of the Rosh, which happened to include all sorts of really interesting Tshuvos related to the Enlightenment, permitting all sorts of things and raising all sorts of questions that were Enlightenment related. It was discovered that, in fact, this was a forgery. But it was a very learned forgery. And therefore, you will find among the Achronim those who will debate and discuss the comments made in the Besamim Rosh. There were those who insisted it was real. It's a fascinating work. So the Chasam Sofer deals with something raised in the Besamim Rosh, or he calls it Kizvei HaRosh, the lies of the Rosh, as opposed to Kitvei HaRosh. And the deal was this: the Besamim Rosh entertains the following situation. Well, there's a fellow who is very ill, and he needs to shave. Right? Medicine was a fun thing in the old days. In order for him to be cured, part of his cure involves as a therapy, he needs to have a shave. So what am I supposed to do? The therapist says not to shave. So he floats the following proposal. Scissors are okay for shaving. Use the scissor to cut the hair really short, below what he thinks is the shear, the minimum shear for a hair. So let's say the minimum shear for a hair is long enough that you could bend over the tip to reach the base. That's one possible shear for hair. So use the scissors to cut it shorter than that, and then you can use a razor to cut the rest, because it's less than a shear. It's less than the minimum threshold of hair. And by the way, have a non-Jew do it, and that way you're better off. Even though the Ravid at least says that if your pasazakan is cut by somebody else, you're still liable. And certainly if you're Miseyeya, if you assist, the Rambam says you're liable. Nonetheless, have a non-Jew do this. His first cut with the scissors is fine, because it's a scissors. It's a scissor cut. And then your second one, you're cutting something that's not significant. It's already too small as a hair for it to be significant. That's the Besamim Rosh's suggestion. The Noda Yehuda dealt with this idea and said that it was wrong. And the Chasam Sofer came along and he went to town on it and said, absolutely not. You're completely off base. Source number 18. He says, Manavshah, he says, what do you want? E name de saros hanishar macha giluach hazu gabi kamandalese. Harehishris vainu betar. He says, if you're going to tell me the hair that remains after the scissor cut is insignificant, then your scissor cut was prohibited. Because he says, all that matters is, did you cut the hair really short? I don't care what implement you use. As far as the Chasam Sofer is concerned, a scissor cut that cuts really short is also prohibited. And then he goes on to say, and if you're going to tell me that the hair that remains is less than a shear, you imagine that there is such a thing as a shear, right? If you're going to tell me it's less than a shear, then the first cut that I did is a problem. And if it's more than a shear what remains, then what you do at the end is a problem. But Chasam Sofer says this is entirely wrong. You can't do that. But the point that I bring this for is to show you that Chasam Sofer says if you cut it short, it's prohibited. And that seems to have been a dominant view in the 20th century regarding shavers. It comes up in all sorts of places. The Chafetz Chaim wrote a Likutei Halachos, a collection of halachos, on areas that aren't covered in the Mishnah Brura. And he wrote about a mechanical shaver of his day. And his piece, I brought it here, quoted in the Tshuvas Hanhagos of Moshe Sternbach. He says, not allowed. If you take a look at the piece here, number 19. Hamachonavi Ameinu, the machine, the shaving machine in our day, Lefia Nira La'ayin, as is visible, Megaleach Kemotar, it cuts like a razor. This is Rav Sternbach. This is not the Chafetz Chaim yet. But it cuts really through the scissors action. It cuts really closely by using two blades, upper and lower. They said that is a razor. Even if it's two blades cutting like a scissors, doesn't matter. It's close to the skin, usur. And then he says, scratches his head. He says, but I know people are lenient about this. And I heard as a kid that Ruchai Mozer permitted it. Right? Ruchai Mozer's second heter. Right? His first one is gelatin, right? Ruchai Moser is the Achiezer is gelatin and shavers. And then he says he says I think it depends on how you define hashkasa. It depends on how you define destruction of the hair. And he says the Chafetz Chaim prohibited it, and he says Rabbi Yaakov Kanievsky prohibited it. He doesn't like it if it cuts short. It's a problem. Rav Yashiv has this as well. The Chelkis Yaakov, I brought you in source number 20, quoted a letter from Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank saying the same thing. He quotes you a journal called Apardes. I have a whole bunch of back issues from back in the era when this happened, but I haven't looked for this article. In the journal of Apardes, somebody quoted Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank saying that you're not allowed to use an electric shaver, and then arguing for Hatter. And he said, when I read this article by Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, I immediately wrote him a letter. In the second line in source number 20. Kasamti takeup li didia rabba gona nali ushalim. I wrote to Yerushalayim immediately. Vikibaldi menu takeup chuba. I got an answer right away. Vazelashono. And this is what he said. Mashenitbas bishmi lesser machona chashmal eino nachon. When they said in my name that the electric shaver is off limits, is incorrect. Rock. Hey Shavti Lisholam Osialze, but this is what I tell people. Dehechi Shamis Galchim Yetsu Nikim Baofen Shabasar Nasa Chalak Lagamri, where those who are shaved emerge clean, such that their skin is smooth. Shlonisharalim Shum Rosham, there's no mark from hair. Degiloh Kazet Din Tar Yeshlo. That is, I think, a tar. That's what Tzvi Pesach Frank said. It's about how short the hair is that remains. And therefore, Tzvi Pesach Frank gave a piece of advice. So I say to all who ask, don't press the shaver to your flesh. Because by pressing it, you really get to a close shave. But if you don't do it that close, okay. That advice is also seen in the Minchas Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Weiss. Rabbi Simon quotes of Scheinberg is giving this advice. The Shuas on Hagos is source number 21. Thinks that that's a joke. He says that doesn't really do anything. The idea of not pressing it into your skin. He says that doesn't help. But on the other hand, he's very concerned that if you're going to prohibit electric shavers, the alternative isn't that people will stop shaving. The alternative is they're going to go back to the razor. They're going to say, well, the electric shaver didn't do me any good anyway. So they'll go back to using the razor. He doesn't want that. So he says, be very careful that your chumrah doesn't result in a kula. But one last piece that I found fascinating, although I don't really understand it, but I think it's fascinating anyway, is Rabbi Yitzchak Weiss's quote from the Chazon Ish. He said in source number 22. He says, "V'chein ma she'ne'amar li b'shem Agon HaChazon Ish Zatzal, hevi Agon Rav Moshe Shtern b'chat shlita anal, she'sipar lo ein ne'aman mimitzuyene kol aponovich." He says, Rav Sternbach said that he heard from one of the outstanding people in the yeshiva in Ponovich, Harav HaMuflag, etc., of Noach Berman Shlita, who asked the Chazon Ish, "Im nachon hashmua, is this correct? Shehu pasak shirei shamayim yeshol izar shlola galech b'machona ala b'machona elektri." He said, he asked the Chazon Ish, "Is it true? I've heard you passing that somebody who reveres God will be careful not to shave with an electric shaver." Veheishiv shalom nachon. He said, "That is incorrect. Rak zeu isur lechol echad, v'lo liyirei shamayim bilvad. It's also for everybody, not just the person who's yirei shamayim." The Chazon Ish said, "No one is allowed to do it." And then he gave him his criteria for doing so. He asked him about a certain razor produced by the Schick brand. So he said, this is what you do. The Chazon Ish got ink on his hand, and he pressed the shaver to his hand. And after he ran the shaver on his hand, he saw the ink had come off. And he said, "See that? The shaver cuts very close to the skin. It shaved the ink off of my hand." Now, I have to admit that I don't understand, because it could just easily be the friction from the shield on the shaver.
They turn the shaver on?
I mean, yes, he turned the shaver on, I hope. I don't
electric
understand, really. What
electric?
Yeah.
Or do you let like shit?
No, this is the 1940s, 1950s. This is an electric razor, an electric shaver. But he says that the Chazon Ish said not to do it. All of these are taking the view that the issue is, how short does it cut? If it cuts short, it's no good. I don't care. There were scissors, a razor, it doesn't make a difference. Doesn't like the idea. That's approach number one. That's the longest approach of the four. The others are shorter to say. The second approach says it's not about the result. It's about the instrument. And this is the position that the Haaretz Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, took in his work of Tshuvos in the Haaretz Tzvi. We quoted the Haaretz Tzvi from a letter reported by the Chalkes Yaakov in source number 20. But in his Tshuvos, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank didn't say it's about how short the hair is. He gave a different explanation. He said it's about the nature of the instrument. What's the key difference between scissors and a razor blade? What's the key difference?
Touching the skin.
Right. Are you cutting along the skin? If you have a razor blade, the razor blade cuts on the surface of the skin. If you have scissors, there is the lower blade, and then the point of cutting is above the thickness of the lower blade. So therefore, take a look at source number 23. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank said, "Hinei le'ayin giluah hazakan, regarding shaving the beard, yeshli dam, dimikevan de'etzem hasakin eino pogea v'lo nogea v'basar." He says, in these shavers, the blade does not touch the skin. There's a thin interruption, but it's an interruption. This is what the Shulchan Aruch meant when it said, scissors that are like a razor blade are mutter. It's scissors, is all it is. It may be sharp like a razor, it may be cut close to the skin like the razor, but it's not on the skin. And therefore, he says, it doesn't violate the Isser from the Torah. Rav Henkin ruled this way as well. He permitted it. And they allowed shavers that have a screen. As long as the screen is not itself sharp enough to cut, this would seem to be okay. This is supported by the Trumas HaDeshen, Arisha, Rav Yisrael Isserlein. The Trumas HaDeshen made the point regarding a scissor shave. If you go back to the Ramah that I skipped in source number 10, look at what the Ramah said. He said, "Umikomakom nizharin." They're careful. "Kishemistaprin b'misparayim," when cutting with scissors, "sheyase hekef hagiluach b'chelek ha'elyom min ha'misparos v'lo b'tachton." If you're using scissors, make sure the cut happens with the upper blade, not with the lower blade. "Penyase ha'kolim chelek ha'tachton v'avikitar," lest you do the cutting with the lower blade, in which case it's a razor after all. You follow? So that's exactly the way that they, that's exactly the point that the Har Tzvi and Rav Henkin make. They're saying that that it's just that the cut shouldn't be on the surface of the skin. The Dibur Yatzev, the Kloisenberger, was asked about a shaver, and he felt the shaver that he was asked about did not violate this, this criteria. So the second view is that it's about the instrument, not about how short the hair is. The third view is also that the instrument is what matters. And this is the position taken by Rav Moshe Feinstein, as explained by Rav Michal Shurkin in the Megid Givos Salam, and it's in source number 24. He said, that's not really what this is about. He says, you want to know what it's about? A tar, by definition, is sharp. Sharp enough that it will cut the hair, as opposed to a scissors type of a cut, in which the two blades squeeze the hair together, and the shearing that they're doing of the hair is like a grinding of the hair. You're pressing it against each other, and that's what causes it to cut, and it doesn't have to be sharp in order to do that. Rav Moshe, as cited in number 24, says you could take two round glasses, and crush a hair in between them, and the hair would cut. But they're not sharp at all. That's not a razor. Now, the truth of the matter is that the argument that he's making from a physics perspective doesn't hold water. Meaning, from a physics perspective, when you cut with scissors, it's true that you're using the pressure of one blade versus the pressure of the other blade. But when you cut with a razor blade, it's the pressure of the razor blade versus the pressure of the skin. That's still what you're doing. But that's from a scientific perspective, from the observational perspective. In terms of what it looks like, someone sees you cutting with scissors, they see that you are exerting pressure from two sides with these blades. When they see you cutting with a razor, it looks like the razor is just slicing through the hair. And that's what Rav Moshe is concerned about. It's the action of a single blade cutting versus two blades that are pressing it between them. And so, as reported by Rav Heinemann in source number 25 in an article for the Star K, he said, Rav Moshe would test the sharpness of the blade of the shaver. He would take a beard hair, he'd hold the beard hair, he would take the shaver and go like that. Like that for the audio. And he would see whether the hair would cut or not. Now, the way that Rabbi Heinemann presents it in number 25, it sounds like he held the hair taut. However, other accounts of this are that the hair was actually a dangling hair, not a hair being held taut. Yeah, well, Rabbi Moshe had a beard.
So you have the three heads to hold it taut.
No, somebody else will hold the shaver. Or somebody else will hold the hair. Either way. So the position of Rav Moshe is a third explanation, right? We're trying to define hiloch sheyesh bo hashchasa and misparayim kein tar. So the first view is it's about the effect. Will it cut the hair short or not? The second view is that the instrument is what matters, if it cuts on the surface of the skin. The third view is if it's a very sharp blade. And then the last view, which leaves people scratching their heads. And that's the position taken by Rav Shamsai Rappaport in an article in the 13th volume of Tchumen. He makes the following argument. The defining characteristic of a razor is that it is an easy and practical way to cut the hairs on your face, as opposed to scissors. He says, look, scissors, if they have long blades, don't fit the contours of your face. They're too long. And if the blades are very short, then you have to do a few hairs at a time. As opposed to a razor, we just go, whoosh, whoosh, and that's it. So he says it's about it being a practical means of cutting a lot of hair at once. And he quotes Rav David Zvi Hoffman, who brought this in a discussion about somebody who is ill and needs to be shaved. Rav David Zvi Hoffman relied also on a piece from Haksava Kabbalah. Rav Mecklenburg, who we quoted earlier, Rabbi Simon in his shir, was not impressed by using Haksava Kabbalah for psak. Although we know that the Haksava Kabbalah was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Which I think has to count for something. But also, it's not just the Ksav HaKabbalah, it's the Melamed Lahol of David Zvi Hoffman. So Rabbi Rappaport argues in source number 27, Nimsa shegiluach mesparayim misabeg betichut v'diyuk l'mishnamesh. He says, cutting with scissors provides you with precision. You could cut individual hairs in a particular place as you wish. And you could adjust the scissors to leave hair of a certain length. Because you're using two blades. And he goes on to say, that's the defining characteristic of scissors versus razor. But if somebody wants to shave his beard quickly and effectively, and he doesn't care about precision, he doesn't care about how long the hair is that he leaves behind, then he uses a razor. And he says that is the distinction between them. And I should note, Rav Nachum Rabinovich in Melum de Melchama brings this view as well. So that's the fourth view, is that it's whether this is practical for cutting a lot of hair or not. So let's apply this to the lift and cut now. Okay? Based on most of these approaches, and certainly the first three, it appears that the lift and cut, as we defined it in the very beginning with our pictures in source number 5, is a problem. Right? Approach number 1, it cuts short. The lift and cut...
Cuts very short.
It pulls off the hair to be able to get to the hair that should have been below the skin. How much shorter do you want to go? Right? Approach number 2. Does it cut along the surface of the skin? The answer is yes, because you're lifting up the skin. You've got a follicle, and the skin is coming up also to be right beneath the blade where you're doing the cutting. Approach number 3.
There's no controversy on that scientific fact.
Like, so we're getting to that. Hang on, we'll get there. The approach number 3, the approach that it's very sharp. So again, the if the second blade is sharp enough to cut on its own, then you'd have a problem. The approach number 4, Rabbi Rappaport seems to think would be okay with a lift and cut shaver. That it's not as good as the razor, but I don't understand why. And in fact, in an article in the 36th volume of the RJJ Journal, Journal of Halakha Contemporary Society, from Rabbi David Schwartz, he notes in footnote 57 also the point that it would
exactly
seem
like a razor.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you do all the studies, and I looked at the studies of people, you know, what people use around the world, not Jews, but just people in general, still the preference by far is for mechanical razor. Yeah, it varies country by country. But generally speaking, electric shavers are clearly not as good as the razor because the world isn't using them. Nonetheless, it seems like a very quick and practical way. You know, unless you're going to say the reason the world doesn't use it is because of expense. You know, it's easy and cheap to get a one-shot razor. I don't know. Not in the market. But it would seem that if the lift and cut does what it is marketed to do, it seems that this should be a problem. Seems like it should be a problem. It was very interesting. The From Toronto email that comes out on Fridays, so they have Asked the Rabbi things from Rav Miller. So I had noticed one a while back, question 1073, in which he was asked this question about the lift and cut and electric shavers, and he said he was reluctant to permit, and he strongly recommended not to use the lift and cut. So, in fact, there are those who will dull the blades of a lift and cut shaver. That's their solution. You'll buy the shaver, and then you'll damage it in order that you should be able to use it. Why didn't you just buy a non-lift and cut shaver? I don't know. That was what was on the market. So they'll buy the lift and cut, and then they'll damage it, or they'll remove the lifting, blade. It's counterintuitive. Others, though, make the argument that the lift and cut doesn't really do what it is marketed as doing. That this is a fine marketing tool, you know, saying that this is the way it works, but really, it's not really lifting the follicle out, it's not really cutting that close to the skin, and so some say, the whole thing is not an issue, it doesn't really do what it's supposed to do. And that's a second argument. Rabbi Yisrael Rosen, who passed away this past year, had a remarkable kula. This is remarkable, and it's worth mentioning, although I must admit being somewhat skeptical. But I bring it for you in number 28. He makes the argument. He went to the factories. If you look at the Tzomet website, they actually tell you for each model, not each model, each brand of shaver, which ones they tested and what they found that it did. If you want, I can send you the link later. But you can find it on the Tzomet website. But he comes up with a remarkable coup. He says, first, we tested the blades using the test, the Rav Moshe test, right? Cutting a hair in midair without the screen. And he said almost all of them didn't succeed in doing it. Almost all of them could not cut the hair in midair. They weren't that sharp. And therefore, if you take Rav Moshe's test, your shaver's fine. He said there was one shaver, I think it was like a Philips 8000 or something like that, that could do it. But generally speaking, they don't do it. But then he said, in 2002...
Philips has a trimmer.
Well, there are different Philipses. But yeah, it does have a trimmer. But the trimmer won't be an issue.
The trimmer's
not the issue. It's not cutting that close. In 2002, he saw a video in which he felt there was a problem. It looked like there really was a problem in this video that he saw in 2002 of how the shaver worked. But then he suggested it's not an issue. And the reason why it's not an issue is because halacha is concerned with the visible, not the microscopic. He said, when you looked at the video, it looked like the shaver blade itself was cutting the hair without the help of anything else. It wasn't that the hair was being held by the screen and then being cut by the blade so that it should be like a scissors. It wasn't. It was really like a razor. However, that's only if you slow things down on a video and watch it. But you can't see that with the naked eye. If you look with your eyes, it looks like the hair is being cut via scissors. It looks like it's two blades that are working together to sandwich the hair between them and to cut it. And just like we say in other areas of halacha, that halacha is not concerned with the microscopic, with that which the eye cannot perceive. He says the same thing is true here. When you look at the shaver, it looks like, number one, it's not cutting along the skin. And number two, it looks like there are two different pieces that are working together to sandwich and cut the hair, just like scissors. And therefore, he says, I'm not going to paskin. I leave it for others to consider this. But he thinks you can work with this idea and say that therefore it's more like scissors, and not like a razor, and therefore it's going to be okay. And his position is quoted far and wide in Israel. I looked at quite a few different places in terms of modern writers in Israel, and they quote this position by Rav Rosen to say that therefore it's okay. So the upshot of what we've said is that aside from our discussion about wear on the face, but in terms of the lift and cut, the definition of giluach sheyesh bo hashchasa, we have four different options. One, if it cuts it really short. And for that, I think your electric shavers and certainly your lift and cut are going to be a problem. However, if you take the position that it's not based on the result, it's based on the instrument, right? That's the latter three views that we brought, and certainly view two and view three. If it's about cutting on the surface of the skin, or if it's about the blade not being sharp enough to cut on its own, so then you have... It seems like you'd have a problem in terms of what it actually does, but only if, number one, it actually does this. And there are those who argue that it doesn't actually do that. You can do the test to see how sharp it is yourself. And number two, represents point, that from the naked eye observation, it seems like what's going on is more scissors than it is razor, and it's not on the immediate surface of the skin. And that's his position for Kula. I had two last notes here, which I just want to mention because we're running out of time. Number one, and starts number 29, it's worth noting that there are those who say that even if there's no biblical prohibition with a particular shaver, there might be a derabanan. The Sefer Chinuch notes that the Rambam writes patur from Isparayim. He doesn't say mutter. But the Kesef Mishnah discounts that. But there's still an issue. The Sheikh Hamed suggests, he quotes the view, that maybe there's a chukos akum problem, even if you're not using a tar. The Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, made the argument that it's lo yilbash, it's a man looking like a woman. And that's why they have the position that they won't cut their beards at all, with anything, not with a scissor either, because they're worried that it looks feminine. And then others say that it's a Kabbalistic issue from the Ari that one should not cut the beard. Again, even if it's not a attar. That's just, it's important to be aware of. The last point I brought you is just a story. I thought it was an interesting story. It's actually about Pa'as Harosh, the Peos of the head. But it's an interesting story. Rav Moshe Sternbach talks about his Rebbe, Rav Moshe Schneider. I don't know if it's Moshe, it's just a mem here. But Rav Moshe Schneider, who went around with long Peos, and he was challenged at one point by a certain Admor about this, about, you know, what he was doing, and he didn't answer him. But afterwards, Rav Schneider told Rav Sternbach that it's not his minog, and he's not doing this in order to grow Pa'as Harosh. But this was during the Holocaust. And he said, this was a time of Chilul Hashem. And as he put it here, hundreds of thousands of Jews were being thrown into the gas chambers. And people are saying, where is God? And he felt it was important to walk in the street with a bearded payas to show that he is not embarrassed to walk around as a Jew who holds on to his Judaism and that and who believes that we are an Am Kadosh. And so he chose to walk around in the street in this way. And it takes us back to the point that I made in the beginning. Right, when I talked about how in the Roman times, the Romans considered it to be good hygiene for a person to be clean-shaven. And I would have expected that we would have said, you know, we believe in being clean-shaven. Because we do believe in walking around in a way that people will respect. But because the Torah says that this is something we're not supposed to do, to shave with a tar, it instead becomes the definition of the Jew. The Jew who is proud to walk around and say, I don't have to look like everybody else. I'm willing to demonstrate that I am a Jew. Thank you very much. Next week is issues of hair care for men, plugs, mirrors, and dyes. Followed by Rabbi Ziering in 2 weeks on peos and beard.